feed, and we'll try to move through this really quickly. This is our first reuse site right here. It's called Freestone Park. Thought I'd better tell you where Gilbert is. It's in the southeastern quadrant of the Phoenix metropolitan area. And just to let you know, we were the population leader in growth in the United States in the decade of the 90s. We had tremendous growth, as you can see there. We're in the northern Sonoran Desert, and it's nice to hear people talk about rainfall. We get about 7.5 inches per year. In 1980, the state recognized there were some active management areas where we were having some serious problems with groundwater decline. That wellhead obviously wasn't built out of the ground like that. There's been land subsidence there. And then to take this into account and to try to decrease groundwater dependence and increase use of other resources, the state enacted the 1980 Groundwater Management Act. Of particular significance to municipalities is that we have to prove a 100-year assured supply in order to continue development. One of the things that we can use to make this happen is reuse and recharge of reclaimed water. In 2009 in Gilbert, you see that we had a bunch of customers using reclaimed water, everything from a golf course using 1.3 million gallons a day to a 7-Eleven store using a couple of thousand gallons a day. Those of you that deal with reclaimed water know that the supply is pretty steady, but in Arizona, the demand varies by season, as in other areas. But you always have that supply of water, so what do you do with it? In 1986, our original basins were designed as evaporation ponds. They were actually clay-lined. In 1989, we decided that we could change that mentality, and we ripped out the bottoms of the basins and started doing managed recharge. And we learned a lot in this process. You can see there that those basins are very engineered and they're very sterile. If a weed grew, we killed it. In spite of this, the Audubon Society at these ponds recognized and identified 100 different species of birds coming through this site. We are on a major north-south flyway in this area. So in 1993, we needed to actually increase our recharge capacity, and there were 40 acres adjacent to this site, and we thought, you know, we can probably do something a little bit different. And so we incorporated a riparian habitat mentality into this, got away from those straight engineered basins and actually put some curvilinear stuff in. And you can see these are the new 5 basins up here, more of a curvilinear design. Our original basins are these right over here, nice and straight. We went out and collected cottonwood tree cuttings. This is the library director for the town and a consultant. We went out to staff and collected all these things. And we invited and widely publicized a planting opportunity. And we had 4-H, we had student groups, we had Elks Club, we had Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, we had everybody in the town turning out and basically poking these cottonwood and willow cuttings into the ground. And then we had a local contractor donate mulch that they had collected from dealing with landscaping. And we spread a native seed mixture on the slopes here. We did not provide any irrigation at all on the slopes. That's what it looks like today. Everything grew very, very well. We produced some very nice habitat. And the viewing ramada in the background that you see there was actually paid for with Arizona Game and Fish Department grant funds. These habitats, because of the cycling of the basins, we learned that you only put about 18 inches of water into these basins to make recharge happen. And in any given situation there, you'll have a pond with a lot of water in it to clear down to a mud flat, and that different species enjoy those different areas. And so we invite a lot of different species into this. This is the original 6 basins. We planted those with trees too, and those are looking pretty nice. This site, we actually fenced this site. And the reason that we did that is the water that is discharged here is just secondary treated reclaimed water. It is not disinfected and has not been filtered. When we went through our permitting process, the Department of Environmental Quality encouraged this to basically inhibit disinfection byproducts. And since the purpose here is to put water back into the ground, on this particular site, we can put about 4 million gallons back into the ground. Because it is fenced off, we do invite tours. They just have to be led. The local colleges have used this in their curriculum, doing biomonitoring that is passed from one class to another and grows. And we also had a rehabilitated wildlife and release site here. In each of the basins, we're required to read a staff gauge daily. We put habitat islands in the middle for a little bit more of a sanctuary environment. We have 7 monitoring wells. We do extensive groundwater monitoring, both the volume of water and the quality of water. In 1995, we actually needed to expand our capacity, as you can imagine from the population growth that you see. And we invested in 140 acres. And the thought was to co-locate a regional library on that site as well. We assembled our stakeholders, and you can see the stakeholders there. School districts, they were very interested in what we were doing. The Audubon Society. I was criticized by many people for inviting the Audubon Society. They say, you're selling your soul. You get those guys involved, all those natural guys, they're going to take over. They didn't. They were a tremendous asset. Game and Fish was part of our stakeholders. We had colleges and universities, Arizona State University, Parks and Rec, Maricopa County Library District. You'll notice up there, police. You might say, why do we invite the police? We were creating a habitat, a very large habitat with trails, and security is an issue. In 97, we held open houses and started the design process, and this is what we came up with. We wanted to do something where we could look at and provide passive education and also try to emulate the various habitats seen in the northern Sonoran Desert. And you see an extensive system of trails. There's about 4 miles of trails in the site. To give you just a little bit of perspective, from the north end of the site to the south end is 1/2 of a mile. These are habitat zones. The concept is that we'll bring water into a habitat zone and we'll flood the water into the basin, and then as the water recedes, you have a marshy area. There's a little bit of information. I'm sure it costs a lot more to do that these days, but we actually started Recharge in 99. This is the site at the beginning of Recharge. This is the regional library. This is a permanent lake. The concept is there's more formal area here, and as you move away from it, you get less formal and more wild, I guess is a good way to say it. Permanent lake here, regional library, Recharge Basin. This is the Eastern Canal. The Eastern Canal is a major canal that brings water into this area for irrigation, and it's also part of our trail system. This is one of our surface water treatment plants. So we made this entire area water ranch because it's part of an effort to teach people about water and its use. There's also a major east-west trail along the south side of this project intended so that people can bike, ride horses, walk into this site. This is the north end of the site. And this is the snake mound. You'll see some pictures of that later, but this teaches math skills, but it's a diamondback rattlesnake. Restrooms, an ethnobotanical garden. We wanted to teach passively what some of the indigenous folks in the area used as far as some of the native species of plants and how they use those. This is the overlook up on the highest spot, a recharge basin. Pumping station, we take water from this lake and use it to irrigate with. The lake actually has 2 monitor wells / recovery wells at both ends of it, and we recover water that we recharge to replenish the lake, and we take water from the lake and use it for irrigation. The ramadas are designed to be very large, and you'll see a picture of that, and that was from school district input. They said we need to be able to put a full classroom under those ramadas. And looking out onto the site, this is our one-stop distribution structure so that our reclaimed water reuse folks make one stop and move that water to whichever basin they want for recharge. Distribution stream, we decided, well, gosh, why not create an ephemeral stream? This was a tremendous success, almost to the point of excess. I'll show you that, too. The habitat islands worked previously. We incorporated them here again. The survival zone that I talked to you about. Restrooms and storage in the middle of the facility as well. This is the distribution structure. The water comes in from the bottom, comes up, and spills. We wanted that noise. We're trying to work sensory things here as well. And from this particular location, the operators can work those wheels and move the water to any of the basins. 6 of the 7 basins, the water goes by pipe into the survival zone, comes into the survival zone, and floods into the basin. One of those goes to that ephemeral stream. We have signage all over the place, educating people as to what they are seeing. This talks about the hydrologic cycle and the supply of water. We typically disc the basins, mostly just to control vegetation, and then we deep rip them a couple of times a year. This is our entrance sign. There's parking for 45 cars and two buses. The logo that you see there was designed by one of our Parks and Recreation Advisory Board members. There was a lot of participation in this project. There's the snake mound I told you about. The grouping of the bumps on there are all mathematical. Again, just trying to passive education and have fun. Here's our active recreation area. There are no formal playground type of equipment located here. You'll see the Ramada. There's held in the Cub Scout meeting under there when I came by and took this picture. The lake is an urban fisheries lake. This is our fish flush structure. This is a monitor well over here that you see on the lower. It's designed so that a game and fish stocking truck can pull up into here, push the water into here, and have it flushed out into the lake. We stock catfish and bass in the summer and trout in the winter. And we have 20,000 anglers participate here per year. It's a well-used lake. I don't know how we managed to do this, but I went out with a wheel, and there's exactly 1/2 mile in nice concrete pathway around the lake. This worked out really neat, too. When all was said and done, there were as many trail segments as there were elementary schools in Gilbert. And so we approached all the elementary schools and said, hey, how would you like to name a trail? And they all did. You can imagine the tremendous support we got from all those schools right immediately, because they all had a named trail in here. This is the regional pathway that I told you that runs along the eastern side of the site, and I use this all the time for bike riding. We put in a floating bridge. Did we need a floating bridge? Absolutely did not. It serves no purpose other than just to cut across one corner of the lake, but we wanted to demonstrate another type of reuse. This bridge is constructed with what's called a Trex board, which is recycled plastic, principally from the type of plastic you have in milk jugs. The other thing that we wanted to do was we realized there would be some people that would visit here that would be physically challenged. We wanted them to have the opportunity to have that tactile experience of getting out and touching reeds and seeing directly down into the water. That's the regional library in the background, and it was designed to integrate well with this facility. And it's a partnership with Maricopa County and the town of Gilbert. This is the view from inside the library. This is the most popular library in the county system. You can see why, with great views like that and the opportunity to get out in nature. This is another view of the library and some people enjoying some fishing. Everything that we did, we tried to make some sort of educational opportunity out of it. So even the benches and things we put there, we tried to have something there. That's the ethnobotanical garden in the background. Here's a little picture that we put out to explain the different species that they see in the ethnobotanical garden and how the indigenous folks use those. Here's the actual picture of it. Notice this little wiki up in the background? That wasn't part of the original design. That's a Boy Scout Eagle Scout project. This is the highest spot in the preserve. It's up on the overlook. Started like that, and that's what it looks like today. I was also told recently that this is the most popular place in Gilbert for marriage proposals now. This is the creek. This creek is designed to be just a nice creek habitat, but it also aerates water. We're pulling water out of the lake, bringing it up to here, and putting it back down in. There's seating for 25 to 30 in the overlook area. And what we are educating up in there is area geology. You can see the mountains in the background. We teach about geology from that vantage point. We have 7 recharge basins, and we put in about 4,400 acre feet per year back into the ground at this facility. We also have the ability to bring in water from the Salt River Project irrigation system, and principally that's going to be Central Arizona Project or Colorado River water that we can bring in during the summer months when reclaimed water isn't as plentiful and recharged back into the ground. This is a picture of one of the survival zones in the recharge basin, the habitat island, or one of the habitat islands. This is our ephemeral stream that I told you about. This is what it started out as. And move too fast, but it's kind of overgrown now. That's one of the areas we realized that you give it enough water and things really grow well. This is a multi-purpose peninsula. One of the ideas that came up was, could we camp here? We put in two peninsulas. I've never camped here, but we had an Eagle Scout ceremony out here one evening with fire and a nice nighttime scenario. But there is camping allowed here, scheduled through our Parks and Recreation folks. We put signs everywhere depicting what they're experiencing, where they would see it, elevation, and just try to explain the habitat a little bit better. Lots and lots of different birds on the site. Now we have about 200 different species identified. This is just all about attitude. Lots more signage. We keep adding signage. People enjoy the signage. They enjoy the education that they're getting, and we're doing nothing actively other than giving them the opportunity to be educated. Lots of other opportunities for education there. We formed the Riparian Institute in 2000 because there were so many educational opportunities and desires that we couldn't keep up with it as staff. And so this institute was founded to promote that and to provide schools and other visitors the opportunity for a more formal educational opportunity if they desired. We have docents. Lots of great volunteers. This is where you tap into your retired population. There are some tremendously talented people out there that love to serve. Lots of active volunteers. You're just building that support more and more the more people you get involved. We have guided and self-guided tours set up at this facility. This is a nationally recognized birding site. If you're involved in birding, the people that do this, and I'm not one of them, are addicted to this, kind of like I am to ice cream. They will travel when the word goes out that there's a species identified at the site. We will have visitors coming from the East Coast into the site to see those birds. It's incredible. We have Adopt a Habitat. ASU, Arizona State University, uses the site. We have the Feathered Friends Festival. Have a lot of fun with that. It's amazing what people find fascinating. This is the young lady that's leading this group is one of our paid staff. We take preschools all the way through college age through this. We have program experiences where a class can take a backpack and have the experience on their own, or they can be led by a docent through the facility. This is an experiment happening in the Overlook area. Classroom instruction right in the library. You can see everything there from utter glee at that scorpion to utter dismay. 5,500 student visitors in 2009. The other thing that I would encourage you to do if you do something like this is leave some open space, because there are ideas that you didn't think of in the beginning that are going to come up. We never thought about this, but it came up, and so now we have an area to look for dinosaur bones. An archaeological site, a local potter. When they break their pottery, they donate this and we bury it so they can find stuff. Holiday luminaires, enchanted desert. This is actually where a gentleman who is from the Apache tribe there comes and teaches docents. In this case, you can see there the youth, the scouts. And then our youth teach the classes. These are one of the areas I was telling you about. Kids' night out. Doing all kinds of fun stuff here. There's a different population that you see at night than you see during the daytime there. Lots of participants. Junior Ranger program where we're teaching the youth. Lots of Eagle Scout projects. There's been over 100 Eagle Scout projects on this site. And now we have an observatory that was donated and from funds raised by the Gilbert Rotary. Funded by memberships and grants, and have a very nice telescope there, and these folks are committed too. They're a great bunch. This is open every Friday and Saturday evening. SRP is one of the local power utilities, Salt River Project. That's what it looks like today. Lots of fun stuff happening. What does the future hold? More programs. We're working on another facility, emulating what Gilbert used to look like in its agricultural years. This is what it looks like, and I'm hurrying here. The north end of it, it's more of a linear design. And we have a a wash on the south side of it. So we have another opportunity here for environment. This is what it looks like today. It's just starting out. Frog pioneers, I think that's what we've been here. We really enjoyed doing this. Keys to our success, we'll run through it really quick. Educate the citizens, incorporate multi-use, multi-benefits, involve stakeholders in the planning, involve as many as possible in the process, advertise your successes, have fun. If you want to hear more about some research done out here, some of the folks in your organization are going to be talking about this in other sessions. Thank you.